Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Sunday, June the 15th, 2014. The Ides of June, indeed. Yesterday was 14:06:14. Don't know if anybody noticed it. Nobody probably really didn't care. But anyway, it has no significance whatsoever. It's just the 14th of the month in the 14th year. Anyway, welcome to Ever Beyond this evening. My guest tonight is Tracy Kennedy. Erstwhile co-host, presenter, we've known each other for a while now, and we're covering similar topics, but, you know, kind of overlapping topics, let's say. And because I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to tune into Tracy's show, so what I'm going to now try and do is get her to condense everything she's broadcast in the last 2 months since I've spoken to her. So greetings and welcome, Tracy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for having me on tonight.
You're very, very welcome. So yes, welcome to everybody. Sorry, I'm just fading myself up. Welcome to everybody on No Borders Radio and Ever Beyond Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio. It's great to, and indeed, turtleislandnews.info. Is that correct?
You did, yes.
Have you got a .com yet?
I haven't, because if I want to keep this name, it would cost me $1,000.
All right. Well, you could make something, you know, Turtle Island News Radio or something like that. Yeah, that's true. Mind you, you could always try and wheedle your way onto Turtle Island News on the other one.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to drop it and have to repay, and I'm going to just snatch it right up.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I could throw in radio. You're right. I could do that and stop being a baby about it. That could happen.
Well, anyway, that's what I decided to do because, of course, Ever Beyond, you know what they manufacture? Everbeyond.com is like plastic goods.
Oh.
Unbelievable. I just checked exactly what they sell, but it's like, huh? Everbeyond.com. It's not me, anyway. Oh, no, it's for sale. They're going to... The funniest joke ever. Oh, there we go. Yeah, but... Yeah, right. Somebody's bought it. I'm not going to buy everbeyond.com. Get a price in less than 24 hours. Rubbish. Anyway, so I'm on Ever Beyond Radio, so that's how I'm going to stay, and I've got everbeyond.info, and that should do, you know. I didn't really want to be a radio station in total, but it's kind of happened like that. Ever Beyond is just the name of the show. It was originally the name of a band that I was in. And I thought, after it broke up, I thought, what a brilliant name. I can't just waste the name. We played one gig in Camden, and you know, nobody recorded it. It was such a good name. It comes from a poem of some kind. I think it's E.M. Forster, but I've never found it. That's what it was supposed to come from. Anyway, enough about me. How's things on the Turtle Island? The Great Turtle Island.
Well, Turtle Island has been really active because of our skies lately. About June 6th. Yeah, it's been that long. Jeez, didn't seem that long. Anyway, June 6th, all over Ontario, there was this They're calling it a fireball, Jay, but it's been reported at least 100,000 people have seen it. Here, it looked like a bright blue, purplish flash. Quick. It could not have been a fireball. There was no tail on it. It didn't streak through the sky. It appeared. And then we got one of those booming sounds. It was just after you did your show on it, as a matter of fact. And was reported in Toronto, booms and flashes of light. June 5th, at least 5 states. They're still calling it a meteorite, but they flash. Meteorites don't flash. Again, this one was as bright as the moon, depending on where you saw it. Another one in Ohio, another one in Brazil. So they've been happening all over. Our skies are, we're even having planes exploding, and there's this bright blue flash again in the sky.
So hang on a second, Trace. You're saying that this thing was flashing? You mean it was pulsating?
It pulsated. And it first was this blue light, apparently as bright as a moon, and then it looked like this light exploded. First I thought it was a transformer, except I wouldn't have expected a blue light. Blue is pretty high frequency for fire, or fire kind of explosion, but it went from blue to like a bright purple and then a white, and then it was gone. Just gone. That doesn't sound like a fireball to me.
No, that sounds very much like plasma.
Yes,
going through various stages of excitation.
Yes. That's what I thought, too. And I felt it's difficult for me because I feel and hear kind of at the same time. So I felt this kind of crackling sensation, like electricity through my body. I couldn't really hear it. Then when I went outside, I heard this boom and felt a shake. Some people heard the shake, some people heard the boom, some people got all three, and the light too. It just depended on where you are and I think how sensitive you are to things. Because I felt these vibrations before I saw it, so I had enough time to walk from my room to outside. It's not a huge walk, but for me, I'm not a fast walker right now. It took me a little bit to get out there. So I had time.
Interesting.
And so, this was seen all over.
So here's the thing that, you know, they're saying they're fireballs, but they're going too fast, and then they change direction, and they change color, and they, you know.
And that's happened before.
But this is what people have seen. I mean, they look like a fireball. Is there stuff kind of crackling off them? Is there that sort of energy? Or is it just that they're really bright?
Well, it went out, so I saw almost a halo around it. And then it kind of imploded, got smaller, smaller, brighter, white, disappeared, gone. It was like something burst through the air, opened up in a big round halo, and then got sucked in and was gone. And I went, oh, good. I'm hallucinating again.
No, but other people saw it. So,
what
time of day did you see this? When was it?
This was approximately 3 in the morning.
So it wouldn't have been that reported, apart from taxi drivers, drunks, and prostitutes, and people who are still insomniac and have a great view over Ontario.
Other people had been woken up by it. and came outside to see it.
All right.
And then
and how next far,
I mean, there was another one.
Tell me, I mean, how fast was it going? I mean, how fast was it moving across your field of vision? I mean,
it
you're saying people could get out, were able to walk outside and still see it.
Well, I was standing on my balcony, and it burst through the sky and imploded. I didn't see movement other than that. It wasn't coming towards me, although it would be hard for me to tell because it looked like it was directly at me, so I couldn't judge speed. You know, if it was on an angle, if there was a tail or something, there was nothing like that. And when it was gone, there was no debris, there was no dust, there was no, and it was a moon-ish night, so, you know, I could have seen if something had exploded, there'd be particulates. No, nothing like that. From a black sky, it appeared, changed color, and imploded into a little tiny white dot and was gone. Yes.
So.
Yes, exactly.
And this thing, and how wide was this arc of light? You know, how wide was this distance of travel that it made?
Oh, from where I was standing, it was exactly the size of the moon when I first saw it. And just as bright.
So big and bright as the moon. That's and so from that, could you see how far away it seemed to be? Like, was it miles and miles away? Is it a big thing miles away or a little thing smaller or further?
I couldn't tell. I couldn't really judge distance other than it was between the moon and us. And a little bit over to the side.
Okay. So, strange anomalies in Guelph.
Huge. And all over Ontario, all over the continent, all over the world.
Do you when you say all over the world, I mean, did this thing happen at the same time, or was it different sightings of something similar?
Different sightings of something similar, although I know five people who were not in Ontario, other than me, who woke up at the same time, either went outside or had some strange event in the bedroom. And saw it. It's like a signal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what?
Yes.
What was the significance to you? I mean, what, it sparked something in you. It's inspired something. Have you changed electrically?
Before I answer that, can I tell you something else that happened within the same couple hours? Again.
Go ahead.
Okay. NASA decided to cut the feed. The live feed from the ISS. We've had another sighting of the Black Knight again. Now, for people who haven't heard that, and I did put up the reports and even a YouTube of the picture, which is interesting. This thing came in and NASA cut off the feed, but it's the second time in 1 week that NASA's had to do it. Now, this Black Knight, also known as the Black Knight satellite, is this object orbiting Earth. It's in a near polar orbit. Ufologists, friends, authors believe it's approximately 13,000 years old and of ET origin, or perhaps a ship we used. And it would have been around the time of the Great Flood And keep that in mind, because it's important with what else happened this week. So authors are claiming that there's a connection between the long-delayed echoes and sounds that have been reported this week, and the reports that Nikola Tesla picked up on a repeating radio signal, 1899. He believed, again, that was from space. The satellite explanation, though, originated around 1954. Newspapers, including St. Louis Post Dispatch and San Francisco Examiner, ran stories attached to UFO research, saying that the Air Force had reported two satellites orbiting Earth that were not the moon. And at this time, there were no official man-made satellites, unless you talk to the Vedas, who also call it the Black Knight. Now, when Tesla heard this, there was also strange signals in the sky. Of course, we had no official satellites at the time. But similar incidents have happened around this particular thing, which NASA have seen before, and amateur astrologers and real official ones with credentials and everything have seen. When we go back to 77, a lot of you have probably heard about this WOW signal. Was a special, strong, narrow bandwidth signal. So people had it. It was repeating. And it happened at the same time this sighting has. What they know about the WOW signal, and Ohio State University and all over the world, SETI even reported it, what they know is it is not terrestrial, and it is extrasolar. So it is not in our solar system, this thing. That happened. And then, you know, if you think that was weird, we're not done yet. Then, we've been tracking this signal, and I haven't even had a chance to tell JP this, from Saturn. What they found is this huge it's a cube. It looks like a Borg. We've seen NASA actually cut off feed so we can't see it. I've told you guys I work for Zoo Universe. Work for, you know, they don't pay me, but I have little patches of sky. And I've been following this weird anomaly, and they said it's an anomaly. And actually, they didn't explain it. But NASA looked at it too, and they blocked something out. So I have on turtleislandnews.info, you can look at this thing as well. Pretty intriguing images. This is NASA SOHO, so the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory. It indicates yet again that there's some sort of extraterrestrial presence around our sun. But this thing came from Saturn. Now, JP and I have talked about this before, and you've probably heard a lot of people talk about this, that these two things are portals. Saturn has a cube-looking thing, depending on what way it's spinning on the top. So polar region, it could look like a hexagram, but it's a cube, too. Looks like a cube. And when we've talked about the reaping of souls, the harvest of souls, the presence that is supposed to be approaching us, first we got a burst. Around the 5th, we got a burst from beyond the center of the galaxy. Then we had our alignment with the moon in the center of the galaxy and us. Then there was another burst from the center of the galaxy, gamma ray, huge, fast moving. And then something else echoed towards Saturn same day. These things came hovering towards us, and several people I talked to last week found themselves excruciatingly exhausted or headache, especially around Wednesday, know that the alignment's not going to happen. They said Wednesday 100%, but you probably felt stuff Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday as well. So I don't know what that thing is, but it was definitely something, and it was approaching, and I've felt it. You know, I've dreamt of the cube my whole life, and I've never thought of it pleasantly. And they've kind of forced it into our minds, you know, the Sudoku, the magic square with all those little numbers in it. And by the way, those are coordinates, and you're calling specific beings. So if you use that, forewarned. All of those, even tic-tac-toe, is all about the cube and awakening. The return of the male gods, because they're not from here. And there was another blast just over, another blue blast over Russia. And this stuff fell to the sky, and they collected it, and it has DNA. So we're seeing, what, a receding, days of Noah. We're seeing prophecy in front of our faces. So feel free to pick on any of that.
Oh, wow. Well, here's the thing. Today I've been dealing with nettles that have been flowering. Nettles are the bane of my life. They really, I come up in wheels and everything. It's horrible. I hate them. I hate the feeling. So
yes, they're burning.
Yeah, so I got my blow lamp out, and I was burning nettle seeds. And when you were talking about these things that are falling to earth, that are, I immediately thought that they're like fruits. They're seed pods of something. What do you think? Or is it the invasion of the pod people?
They're DNA. It's DNA and RNA. It's alive.
But
we're being reseeded. And they found that last year and came out and said, you know, that the entire planet in the upper levels, just before you get off and, I guess, float into space, is surrounded by living material that's just waiting for the right amount of water and the right galactic energy, you know, needs a spark of life sort of thing, to come in, and then this stuff is released in the star water. And, you know, we've heard of these red rains coming down and strange colored rains and that, but that's alive. It's a real thing. Proven. 100% fact. This panspermia thing. We're being reseeded. By what? And, you know, even the stories that we've talked about so many times, JP, the same events are happening. And that cube seems to be tied into it. Because look at the Kaaba, which is supposed to be holding one of the first seeds of life, which they put in a cube. And then that Black Knight appears. And it's been looked at with a lot of global disasters too, climate change, world change, before we had SUVs apparently.
So the Black Knight, the weirdest shaped spaceship I've ever seen. It just seems to kind of, it's just weird. Everything about it is weird. Everything it does, we can't do. It's huge. It weighs 15 tons. It looks like it's a great big iron, you know, but it's kind of got a kind of hook end, and you know, it looks like a kind of weird sort of Swiss Army knife of spaceships, you know, all like bits stuck together, but with no apparent kind of direction. You know, it's got hasn't got a wing or a nose or a tail. Well, there is a kind of hook thing, but it doesn't actually fly through the space in that form. Is it still working? Is it still, it's still emitting, isn't it? People are picking up transmissions from it.
First you hear a signal, then it comes in. And it seems to come in, it's reacting to something. And we've seen it a couple times this year, which is odd. if anyone's looked at, no, this movie is kind of preachy, but there's this movie called Epoch, and it looks like that. Although I'm sure I've seen it in another movie, and I just can't remember where. For the life of me. But I have a crystal that looks just like it.
Do you now? Well, quartz crystal.
It is a black, is it magnetite?
Hematite?
Can't remember the name offhand.
Shiny gray.
Shiny black.
All right, obsidian?
Could be.
Anyway, so it's you've got this crystal in this shape, like a natural form, or, yep. Or carved.
Nope, carved. I like my crystals untouched. It's natural.
Interesting.
But when I saw that for the first time, you know, reading the articles, I'm like, hey, I got one in my house. What is that? I'm throwing it out if it's creepy.
And you haven't thrown it out yet?
No.
Because this is the thing.
Why,
you know?
Bother?
What?
Why bother?
I'm sorry?
Why bother?
Here's the thing. Right. We, actually, I haven't covered Black Knight very much, so I'd be very happy if you could, as it were, discharge your research here. Because I heard about it, actually, I probably heard about it on your show, and it just seems to be there. Then I saw that video the other day, and it's the creepiest thing, because it just kind of... It's just like a Klingon warbird decloaking off the port bow, Captain. You know, it really is just exactly like they portrayed in Star Trek about a ship decloaking. Just did that. Really creepily. In kind of space real time, like that. But, like, it just appears, doesn't it? Interesting.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, do you want me to talk more about it, or did I say enough?
Plenty. Please, say plenty. Say plenty about it.
Okay. So if anyone wants to see the videos and stuff about it, I've put them all together. They're today, so Sunday, June 15th. There are three different links, plus the WOW signal. So we'll go over that. Now, I have to warn you, the second link has like really hokey music, like da da da, kind of dumb. But hokey music aside, this Black Knight still stands as proof of at least we don't know everything. This is real. And still up to now, there's absolutely no information. There was a scientific storm about it around 1960. Astronomers of the time will tell you how they watched this thing some nights, and other nights it just wouldn't show up. So, polar orbit. A photo that I have was even taken from the ground at Grumman Corp. Now, before I posted this article, the first time I searched boards for any mentions of it, because I was wondering what the heck was going on there. But this alien craft has been over the Earth for, they're estimating, 13,000 years, and the scientists are saying this.
So how can they tell? There's no... How can they possibly tell it's been there for 13,000 years, unless they know?
I'm guessing partly they absolutely know. And there's several caves, one in Canada, one in the United States, one in Africa, one in Tibet, and one in, I think, Ireland. I'm going to have to look that up. That has a picture of it. And it's around the same time. And then there's a lot of running and screaming looking guys. So they're guesstimating, and or they know.
Mm-hmm.
And all the articles that I've been able to look at, they're all saying this time.
And so, are they getaway craft? Are they... Could these things be the shield that prevents the bad guys from getting away, which is what they've called the quarantine? Could this be the actual implementation of it?
Interesting you say that, because a couple months ago, I was telling everyone that suddenly our planet threw up her shields and stopped a gamma burst from coming in. This was recorded all over the world. If this thing is perhaps triggered by the planet and machines that are still working that we are unaware of, because a lot of strange things have been found lately, strange but good, like ancient cities, they're admitting there's an inner earth, they're admitting there's a whole nother waterway. Let's hope they don't blow it up. But these events are happening at the same time. And there was a huge crack in India that is just seeping magma. But there's no earthquake there. So I think it comes here because the last time it came was February 16th, 2013. And a whole bunch of weird things happened. And again, I have pictures of this thing because people have been taking pictures of it. So they're estimating by the look that it weighs over 15 tons. No country in the world could have launched a 15-ton object into space when it was first told to us in 1899. I'm not sure if we could do it now. As a matter of fact. And it was in polar orbit, yet another technology we don't even possess. We don't have anything that could have a polar orbit. So the photos that I have up, and I did put the link in the room, and I'll...
Hang on, Tracy, why can't we have a polar orbit? What happens? What's wrong?
You get sucked in the middle of that hole up there to go to the center of the Earth. I don't know why. You can't fly over them.
All right. They say... Oh, I see. The no-fly zone over the northern opening.
The aliens get pissed off. I don't know, sweetheart. Apparently. But we can't. I heard it was magnetic anomalies, and from what the people who live all around that region all over the world, they say that they have a lot of sightings of magnetic anomalies, and that's why they got the Northern Lights, although that's happening all over the world now. But the pictures I have of it, the other thing is, it looks like this thing changes shape. Now, I have pictures that it's real, and all the images have been checked and are genuine, non-edited NASA originals. Sometimes it looks like a helicopter. Sometimes it looks like the Batpay plane, as a matter of fact. It changes shape.
It's got that curve of the black, of the, it's the curve of the Batmobile. That same kind of angle of curve, you know.
Hold on.
Hasn't it?
And, open my Skype so I can pass this to you.
And it's also, it has that kind of a pointy bit, just like the point of the bat, the wing of the Batmobile, or the bat symbol.
It does have a pointy bit. But I want to show it to you. I'm going to send it to you, the link here, because I have pictures, and whatever this thing is changes shape. And if you go in, you're just going to have to turn off the player, because it makes noise. So
that's all right. It just crashed my flash.
Did it crash you?
Crash me flash, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't look at it.
I won't now.
Okay, good.
I will post it in the chat room, though. They may hear the same signal. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so, again, you know that signal I was telling you about. Now, back in 1899, Tesla developed some high-voltage radio transmission equipment, Colorado Springs. Tesla announced that he had been receiving an electrical signal that appeared to be intelligent because it was repeating. The signal clearly repeated periodically with such a clear suggestion of actual numbers and orders and Fibonacci series and interesting patterns. Anyway, this led him to believe that the signal was a communication. First, he assumed it came from Mars. Later, he changed that opinion, stated in one of his newer conferences that the signal was coming from somewhere else. Now, a few years later, Marconi intercepted another strange signal, and he called it an unknown artificial artifact or signal. Then we go to 1927. Unknown mystery satellite, again orbiting the Earth, was detected by astronomers back then. They saw it in 27. Many astronomers reported also mysterious signals transmitted by this thing. Then 4 years before the launch of Sputnik 1, 1953, this object was discovered by a Dr. Lincoln La Paz, University of New Mexico. As reports of this object began to come in after this discovery from other scientists seeing the same object, Department of Defense apparently appointed an astronomer, Clyde W. Tombaugh, to run a search for this thing. Then in 57, a Dr. Louis Corrales of Communications Ministry in Venezuela photographed it while taking pictures of Sputnik 2 as it passed over Caracas. So unlike Sputnik 1 and Sputnik 2, this mysterious object orbited east to west. Most things don't move that way, as a matter of fact. The Russian and American satellites, till this time, moved from west to east. Both of those guys supposedly up there moved in the opposite direction of this thing, thereby, you know, using Earth's natural rotation to stay in orbit. This thing does not use Earth's rotation to move. That's why that's a big deal that it moves the other way. Now, in 57, this unknown satellite was detected shadowing Sputnik 1 craft. Polar orbit, again, something that neither the Americans or the Soviets were capable of at the time. There was a statement that ham radio operators had picked up radio transmissions that were decoded, whatever that means, as being a star map that indicated the craft originated in Epsilon Boots 13,000 years ago, and that's where they're getting that thing. So the object was dubbed the Black Knight. And you've probably heard of it, talked about in Project Camelot, a Sergeant Clifford Stone's mentioned it. People have called it the alien probe. So we go to March 1960. Again, mysterious satellite discovered orbiting Earth. This satellite, again, polar orbit, neither U.S. or Russian could do. Soviet satellites were also inclined at a 65-degree angle with the equator. It's calculated that the object, again, 15 tons, that stays about the same, far too heavy for a rocket of that era. also traveled twice as fast as any known satellite at the time. The object was sighted and studied by many astronomers across the planet. Now, Robert L. Johnson, director of the Adler Planetarium, had this to say about the object. So, no, we're not making this up, and this is not like heebie-jeebie kind of guys, and, you know, I see pictures of Jesus in my eggplant. So these are real people when scientists actually could say stuff. So he says, the object doesn't even have the decency to maintain a regular schedule like any other heavenly or man-made object that he had ever seen. We don't know even when to watch for, he said. It appears some nights, and other nights it just doesn't. And I have another picture of it. This one looks like it's a, kind of look like it just changed into a dolphin. So it's really odd. Anyway, then it was photographed by a Grumman Aircraft Corporation, too, military attached, so much importance to this mystery satellite that they created a whole special committee to gather information and study this satellite. Committee's findings, of course, kept secret. Sightings just weren't said. That is still a ham operator intercepted another strange signal from this. This signal was later studied by a Scottish astronomer, Duncan Lunan. The decoded messages show up. Again, they said a star map centered in Epsilon
Booties.
Yes. As seen from Earth. And I have another picture. So, they call it the Black Knight satellite, sending information to who? Looking for signals that we have received from space is a good indication that somebody else is out there, because it's not the only time. There are quite a few, as a matter of fact. It's possible, I think, that Tesla and Marconi interpreted the same signal as these guys are talking about now. Let me go on.
Well, I mean, let's just discuss this thing. So,
okay.
So the what? It's a thing. We haven't quite decided what it is.
It is a satellite.
It is a satellite. All right. Yes. I suppose we could say just because it's floating around. Now, the thing is, the way this thing appeared, if this is the same thing, the way this thing appeared is it appeared to be like, actually, yes, it's exactly like you might have a night watchman who's on patrol. And then if he sees something, he'll go over and have a look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the energy that I got off this thing. It's like, ooh, what are you?
Yes.
So, it's called the Knight. And it's been called the Black Knight for a long time. And what does the Knight do?
That's what it calls itself.
It calls itself? How does it know? How do we know?
Because the ham radio signals that were interpreted got the location this thing was from, its age, a star map, and its name.
All right. Oh, I'd like to see those. Interesting to see that. Yes, indeed. So
those two.
Oh, have you not got a copy of that?
I've got a copy of everything I'm reading to you, but not of the actual readout.
All right. Okay. Right, so we now have something that is a has a possible. It seems intelligent. It seems to have. Well, I mean, it may be an artificial intelligence. We've now seen how clever, how artificial intelligent things can be.
Yes.
And if it's an old one, you know.
I have images of the papers that we're talking about this too, up there.
Okay, so this thing tells us its name and its star map. Did they? How do they code? How is it coded? Is it ASCII? It's like, how do they know? Well, actually, you asked that question. See, those are the sort of, you know, when somebody says code, you know, I was like, oh, right, let's have a look at it.
Thank you.
You know, I like a bit of code. So this thing, we don't know how it's powered, but we can imagine that it's got some sort of energy device in it. It seems to have access to a lot of it, and if it's a big lump, maybe the size of it is because it's got some sort of generator aboard. But what else can it do? It's got, is it listening to all the transmissions on Earth? Does it seem to respond in any way to transmissions?
Not that I can tell.
Is it listening to us right now? Hello, Black Knight. Let us know if you're listening.
I tell you. How are you doing? It's responding to something that's here, or it wouldn't keep coming back.
So, the what? The why is... who knows? Purely speculatively.
Interesting. For speculation sense, there's something called the dark fence, which I thought was pretty interesting. That I wrote this article last year and got a whole bunch of information. So this would have probably been not this February. It was probably last. I don't know. If you say February. So, 3 weeks before that, headlines announced that the U.S. had detected a mysterious dark satellite. Again. Wheeling ahead in its regular orbit. There was nervous speculation that it was some sort of surveillance equipment launched by the Russians. Brought an uneasy sensation. Of course, that the U.S. did not know what was going on over its head. Then, later in February, Department of Defense proudly announced that the satellite had been identified. It was a space derelict, it said, the remains of an Air Force Discoverer satellite that had gone astray. Apparently, they can go astray and decide which direction they're going to go in and when they appear. Which, you know, I find suspicious. Anyway, the dark satellite was the first object to demonstrate the effectiveness of what they call the U.S.'s new watch in space. 3 week time lag in identification, they said, was proof that the system still lacks full coordination. Some bugs were dried out. So this first sighting, again, this wasn't 2013, they said it was important. You know, they were testing it. And finally, when it gone into operation, this construction of this dark fence, kind of radar tripwire, I guess, stretching across the width of the entire United States or U.S. Designed by Naval Research Lab. But it doesn't seem to be doing any good at keeping said falling objects from falling. So anyway, whatever's up there said they were spraying radio waves in the shape of this, it was like open fans. It was incredible. This dark fence, now this was January 31st, detected two passes of what seemed another unknown object. After detecting several passes during the next couple days, because this thing seemed to have sped up, the commander decided that something was circling overhead again, guess where? Roughly Buller region. raced to the Pentagon, in person reported the menacing stranger to Chief of Naval Operations within minutes. Now, this also echoes something that else happened, and kind of going back in time, we are talking Arleigh Burke, who was the chief of operations then. He got the news to President Eisenhower, marked it top secret. Apparently in confusion, there was some delay before anyone took steps necessary to even identify this thing. Air Force Surveillance Center was already in Bedford, Massachusetts. People didn't know that. It's been there for a long time. Surveillance Center, take all objects and satellites and near-Earth objects, optical, electric, feed them into computers, produce figures to identify. It took 2 weeks back then for something, and apparently this dark fence had been tried before. They couldn't stop this thing. And again, just a couple of days ago, it's back. And then I have articles from 1954, 1960, 1800s. So whatever the heck this thing is, it's been there for a very long time.
It's a very mysterious thing.
It is.
Indeed. And...
Go on. There's always anomalies since we've been able to fly. 13 planes mysteriously vanished from radar twice in Europe for over 25 minutes. One group of 13 was on Friday the 13th. Another was a couple days later. But it seems to come with anomalies as well.
Interesting. So, Friday the 13th. And this is perhaps to do with harmonics as well. But also, you know, there's the full moon thing going on as well.
With Galactic Center. That happened on the 13th. Well, that happened on Wednesday, the full moon, but, you know, it takes a couple of days. All of these things are happening at the same time.
This is one of the at the same time things.
Yes.
Now, I was hoping to find, for the break music, I was hoping to find a piece by Deep Purple called Black Knight, but I couldn't find it. So
also played Borg. No, that's too short.
Yeah, I haven't got Borg either. So I'm going to play a bit of 2001 just to keep it. There you go, a little bit of the Blue Danube and also Sprach Zarathustra. Zoroastra. So here we are. Welcome to Ever Beyond, Hour 2, June the 15th, 2014. And I'm talking with Tracy Kennedy. We're talking about near space, inner space, local space. It's not just this empty thing that we're bouncing around in. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's like, you know, if you were to take a cup of seawater and put it under a microscope of various levels, you'll see life going on deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, the smaller and smaller the things you can look at, there's still stuff going on. And really, it's the same in space, isn't it, Tracy?
Same in space, same in a dewdrop. Billions of life forms in a tiny little dewdrop, just like our bodies, you know, living with stuff. We are experiencing something right now that our ancestors told about in pretty much every culture that could write stuff down. And it was so good. And, you know, I wanted to thank you for that interview you played Friday. Dudok and I got so much out of that. Really, really enjoyed him. And so many things happened in the next couple of days after we talked about it, because, you know, I've been in that panspermia talk before, and I've talked about chromosomes and how even maleness is a myth. I'm sorry, and I'm not saying it rudely at all. Not a myth, but we just don't have much of it here. Why I'm a little concerned, to be honest. Well, a couple reasons. And still, I'll go back to how do I feel about this? I'm building up to it. Scientists are saying there may be an ancient Earth living inside our Earth, which means they know it. And they're saying this happened at the same time the moon was here, but they're saying it was a crash, which makes no sense. So they believe they found evidence for ancient Earth inside Earth. So they found inner Earth. They're skipping around and dancing with the words, but they found an unexpected isotopic ratio, they're calling it, deep within Earth, a signal that there's material in there from outside this planet. Something else hit it. And they're saying this happened approximately 4.5 billion years ago. Now, the current theory is that the moon was formed around 4.5 billion years ago when the Earth collided with something very large. They're calling it Theia, but, you know, it's been talked about, which is weird if we were just microbes or something like that. So the energy released in this impact between Earth and Theia would have been massive, certainly enough to melt the majority of the planet so there'd be restart. The scientists are believing the impact energy was not evenly distributed, and that means that a major part of the impact would probably have been just vaporized. Part of that Earth would have gone a complete melting. So they'd find noble glasses, which they have, and the geochemistry says that there is something under there. That the interesting stuff is, they're saying the moon was formed 4.5 billion years ago. Guess what else happened 4.5 billion years ago? Because they can apparently just pull these numbers. What happened then is that the Y chromosome on Earth, well, before that, life started on Earth somewhere around that 4.5. It was only the X chromosome that they could find. And you're probably saying, well, you know, there was nothing living, but we had bacteria. They can prove that. And yes, they do and did have chromosomes. From that spontaneous life that they're just saying came from something that hit us or landed, depending on the story you want to listen to. Either way, they're admitting something came here, started life. We were all female, like in several of the stories of Mother Earth. And then, for the first 4.2 billion years life existence on Earth, there were no Y chromosomes at all. There were no males. Nothing on Earth was male. But it's interesting that 4.5 billion life started.
It's a very it's pulling the figure out there, proverbial. But 4,500 cycles of, you know, because there's all these different cycles. There's like the 50 million year cycle, 52 million year, there's 26,000 years, and all of those. In fact, 26,000 and 56 million. There's a relationship there. There's a mathematical. It's geometric, and there's all these harmonics and geometries that are going on there.
Yes.
So, I mean, my personal opinion is that the 26,000-year cycle is our orbit around Alcyone, or our orbit behind Alcyone, let's say, as it travels. Alcyone of the Pleiades.
I'm with you.
And that's the precession of the equinoxes, and the reason that we're tilted... or the reason that it's got this is it's the same as the planetary tilt of 23 degrees, and it depends on how far away you are from the sun, as to, you know, because like you're on the edge of, you know, like somebody swinging a piece of rock on a rope, you know, it'll swing out at an angle, and that creates our precession and our ages, and our ages are essentially months in the year of the orbit around Alcyone. That's what I think, anyway. Anyway, meanwhile, so that's the spiritual age, and it's the age of it's like the solar system's months. Anyway, so that they call that the great year in the science. So you know, this is nothing new that I'm talking about. But it just seems to be new to everybody here. It's like, oh, yeah, because we're so fragmented, we don't pull all these things together. So anyway, let's pull some more things together for our brothers and sisters here.
Okay. All right. Next, we're going back and read you a little quote. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. A reservoir of water lying deep under the earth's surface contains approximately triple the volume of every one of the earth's oceans and may even be a wellspring source of them, researchers are saying, although not in liquid form, most familiar to us, since they're bound within rocks deep in the Earth's mantle. It likely represents the largest reservoir of water on Earth, scientists are saying, from New Mexico and Northwest University. Writing in a scientific journal, they report finding pockets of melted magma 400 miles underneath North American continent, that likely the signatures that water exists basically at those depths. Scientists have long questioned whether the mantle was actually a rocky, hot layer between the Earth's crust and its core, and whether or not it contains water trapped there with rare minerals. This discovery is evidence that water can be transported from the surface of the Earth to a great depth, plate tectonics and stuff like that, which is causing havoc all over the world, by the way. So the movement of these continents and plates over the Earth's surface sliding around water. So these processes that happen up here, like earthquakes and eruptions, or like what just happened in India where lava broke for no freaking reason, they think they're seeing evidence for a whole Earth water cycle that may be around 250 to 400 miles deep that allows water to become tightly bound in the minerals. So, days of Noah.
Well, here we go. All right. So,
you flooded again?
Yeah. Underground water.
Yeah.
Elements are created through the plasma ball that's at the center of the planet. Right, so here's the different things, right? There's various different theories around this, but essentially one theory is that inside the Earth there is a plasma ball, like a small star, a little sun, and that the radiation of this star, that is also energized by the radiation of our sun, creates matter. It creates elements. and these elements are expelled from it, and they're expelled in all directions, and they rain on the inside of the hollow earth, and its radiation, and indeed gravity, is a force that is being expelled from this. Here's the thing, right? According to Stillings, gravity is a wave that is emanated from gravitational generators, and he says that planets can't collide because they all are expressing, they're all pushing outwards, like they would all repel each other. Although obviously, if you fire an asteroid fast enough at something, I'm sure it'll get through. But in general, planets don't collide, but they would there would be a charge potential between them, so there'd be lightning between them. That would be pretty spectacular. According to Velikovsky, the planet Mars came by our planet 2,800 years ago, 800 BC, and completely wiped out, completely made an enormous hole in the north of Italy, at one point, where there was a whole town that is now a lake. It's not a volcanic lake. The lake was a hole that just appeared and eventually filled up with rain from the hills. But so that's one piece of evidence. And they said that there used to be a village there. There used to be a town there. That's one piece of evidence for the idea of an electrical discharge as a planet. In this case, Mars, which is not that long ago, 800 BC, is not that long ago for like turbulence in our solar system, according to Velikovsky. Anyway, have you read that, Worlds in Collision?
Yes, I have. I've talked about this quite a bit. Yeah.
So
I'm with you.
Yeah. So a lot of scientists, scientists are always saying, things collided with the Earth, but I still don't think things work like that.
I don't think so either.
Things are
acted magnetically, and some are repelled if they're just made of space. That thing we don't know, that dark energy that repels things. I don't think scientists have it, but it makes perfect sense that the inside of the Earth should look like the outside, and as soon as they mess with it, we're going to be in trouble. Radiation surrounds us. It's in the rocks underneath the planet. The reason we have life on Earth is because of the tiny little explosions of these radioactive rocks happen under the Earth, cause this debris up, cause the minerals to be released, probably works with the water, and then makes this beautiful green place. You take those rocks, you take the radiation out of that, and you have turned that wonderful thing that's saving our lives into death. They take that water out of those rocks, It's not going to be good. We've got plenty of water up here. Let's deal with this before we start messing with more stuff. What did they do as soon as they found the asteroid belt? Within months, they blew it up, because that should be fun. They found heavy water naturally flowing out of these rock explosions. And then, fertile land all around it. They took that heavy water, they grabbed the rocks. First experiment, they killed the researcher and have let loose Shiva on the planet. So, it's a cycle that's supposed to work in a certain way. And our scientists, because of the government, of course, governments who want to make money and corporations who own them, want to exploit the resources on our planet, and we're suffering because of that.
Well, look, I mean, let, Let's go back. We know that this planet is currently being held ransom. You know, basically, we've got what's that called? A siege? And we're being held hostage. According to Cobra, the thing that they're most worried about is a thing called a singularity bomb, which is a device that could tear apart a part of the solar system. You know, it's that big a bomb. You know, it wouldn't blow up your local village. It wouldn't blow up it would blow up several planets. So that's why according to Cobra, this is why we're not being rescued, is because they've got they're handcuffed to this this device. That's one of the reasons that we haven't had mass arrests and disclosure and stuff like that. But again, that could be another excuse. But it does sound feasible, and it does sound like these guys' MO. So, having said that, they have developed, this group. I had a word for them once. My guides gave me a word for them. And I can't remember what it is. I'm terrible. I've been terrible with words tonight. It was something like the Drax or the Driggs or, anyway, something Drig.
The Drudge.
The Drudge, yeah. There was, essentially, about 50,000, let's go back, let's tell the people, about 50,000 years ago. Now, this information comes through Michael Tessarian from the Vedas. It came across, we came across it after a certain thing happened. So we looked at this, and basically what he's saying is that about 50,000 years ago, there was a situation that happened. It's a kind of intergalactic, interdimensional crime syndicate group, a bit like the kind of, imagine the bad guys in Superman 1 or something. Anyway, they've been causing havoc elsewhere, wreaking tyranny and causing Armageddons all over the place. So they'd been chased out of town, in a way, but they actually escaped through time and arrived in our solar system through the sun as a time portal. Now, these are concepts we're now starting to become familiar with, but at this time, they were kind of quite, escaping through time, through a star, weird. But after Nassim Haramein saying, oh yeah, well, you can use a star as a time travel machine through space and time and come in through black holes, yeah. And suddenly it all becomes rather, rather possible. So the story goes that they escaped through time and space to a point about 50,000 years ago on Earth, where it was nice and quiet. It was a nice kind of hippie commune down there that we now call Lemuria, and everything was cool, and all the devas and gods and people and, everybody lived in a really, it was really quite a nice place, a bit like Findhorn on a June afternoon. And these guys arrive, okay, I think there's males and females, I'm sure. They come from a different dimension, different time and space, different kind of planetary situation where their orbit is much larger, they are longer lived. They're also kind of larger, they got technologies. And their genetic, everybody does genes in the universe. Apparently, all the ETs, they're all. Anyway, so they're kind of. I think they're from what I can gather, that these are humanoids, but they're very large, and they are the beings that have been depicted all throughout history as the beings they call the Titans. Or the gods, or, you know, the Asgard, you know, Thor and all that. But basically, we're talking about giants. They're giants to us, but we're small to them. We're just small things. It appears that in the universe, we're actually small compared with everything, and we're kind of, you know, it's a bit of a dwarf commune, really, the Earth, before this lot happened. Anyway, so this lot appear about 50,000 years ago, find themselves a very easy place to live because some people regard them as gods because they are tall and big, and that's what they said that the gods were. So, you know, you can imagine the first conversation.
Oh, hello. Are you our god?
Yeah, sure. I'm your god.
Oh, right. Okay, I'll go and tell the others.
The outcome of this is that we end up worshipping these people, and they're just people, and they're just, you know, they're not even nice people. They're criminals. And they basically set up a branch of their own intergalactic mafia, because they have several tools at their hands, and one of them, the first one is divide and rule, or rather, the first one is they can divide, and the second one is that they can distract. You know, so first of all, say, oh look, you're men and you're women, and you're more like us, so you're good, and then you say to the women, oh look at them, they think they're all good. And that's how things started. So what do you think, Trace? So far, how am I doing?
You know what? There was a time where, you know, I might have took offense on some of that, but here's what we know, and this is true for every single man on this earth. He's constructed with an average of 250 female genes and one male gene. Even our men are mostly female. One male gene. Do we want to know what a real male looks like? Because obviously it's not from here. Something came down and I don't want to meet them. And those portals, 100% with you, the sun, and that cube from Saturn, which I've been talking about. If the males have returned, I think we need to split or throw up the shields or call the Black Knight or something. I don't want to meet a male. I don't want to meet a male at all.
Right, so let's flash forward a little bit, because I'd like to reveal some information that I gained from reading The Sands of Time by Sean David Morton.
Dun, dun.
Whatever you might say about him, he's got this info, right? You've got to take the info. So I read this book, and it's got tiny little letters, but essentially they had the problem of the Philadelphia experiment and the Nazi bell ripping holes in space-time, and what happened is that the whoever it is outside of the universe that you don't want to meet, their eye has been turned towards us, and so their fleet is on the way. And the whole reason for the secret space program and all this is to create devices that can be teleported from the Earth into space to be deployed when this fleet arrives, and it can also be used to destroy asteroids. They've developed since, this is, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, they've developed laser weapons that can, I think at the second setting, at setting like 2 out of 10, it can vaporize a spaceship. And at 10, setting 10, it can destroy a planet. And they call this the Bug Zapper. And this is absolutely real, and they've been using teleport technology since the 60s and 50s, and they they were the idea is they wanted, here's the project, right? They wanted to test the temperature. They want to, so basically they wanted to see what it was like inside a thermonuclear bomb just after it went off. Right, they wanted to film that. Imagine that sort of project, you know. And so what they did is that they thought, right, okay, well, let's teleport our probe into the thing. But they thought, this is going to come back really hot. So what they did was they teleported it to the moon, where it's super cooled. They teleported it into the nuclear blast, and then teleported it back to the moon, so it cools down, and then they teleport it back to the lab where it can be analyzed. These are the experiments that they were doing that started out the whole thing that became Area 51. And all these things. And so what their problem was the reversal of the ability to open a hole in space-time. The ability to reverse that process and close it again, rather than leave it gaping open, leaving unprotected. So, you know, they worked forward on various fronts. This book is called The Sands of Time, by the way, and it's just released another batch. You know, it's an amazing book. You really got to read it. And it's in the trying to fix. All right, so the other thing is the book starts with the guy getting the Nazi expert, and he was the classic Nazi. He was the, you know, he listened to Wagner on a gramophone and you know, got drunk on vodka all afternoon. But he was the Obergruppenführer, Hans Kimmer, and he was also the time travel doctor. And also the guy who designed all the concentration camps. Anyway, long story. Not a nice guy, but he was very clever. And he had the information about how to reverse it. And once... It's a very interesting read. That's where it starts. And it moves on through the device that teleports this thing. And then they figured out that they could create a laser that... that was, you know, fueled by gas and nuclear power, and could burn. You know, they called that the bug zapper. And then they combined the technology that they had to invent on the way, which was the teleport technology and time travel technology in the same breath, basically. So they were then able to work on that. And so we've got a planetary defense grid that involves no spaceships, that is able to teleport to a position and destroy the target and then teleport back. So that's the planetary defense grid, and that's where all the billions of dollars have been going, and that's why we need a space fleet, is because there's a bunch of twats on their way looking for a fight.
We asked a question, what do they look like, these beings we're talking about? So like JP was saying, the Titans, the angels, we've heard all kinds of descriptions. I'm telling you, we do not want to see these things. We're told, of course, because we've been fed all these God myths and savior myths and male domination and, you know, great daddy in the sky kind of things. But if the thing that gave the male chromosome, because something did, because it did not exist, if something gave the male chromosome here, whatever that thing was, if our men only have like one chromosome to 250 female ones, and these are what we call male. Can you imagine something with 100% male chromosomes? Do you want to meet that thing? What do we call the men of renown, the mighty men? They would have been huge, and no offense, guys, nasty. No, I don't want that. Don't want that. don't care what they look like. They come. We need to sort out our stuff and fight these things. Yes, he said what?
Yeah, it was him.
Yeah, that's what he said.
But you see, they are. I mean, to us, they are as giants, right? It's as if we are 5 years old and looking at an adult. That's the kind of relationship that we have to these people. And they are people, and they're horrible, right? And
that's my feeling.
Yeah. Now, the thing is that it may be that their people... No, I was just thinking a benign thought. That's probably unlikely, though.
They misunderstood?
Yeah, and it was like they were looking for them as well. And
yeah, I was trying to go there, too.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
And we're very sorry, and Jay, let's make amends.
They're in a cube, Jay. No, I don't like them. And even talk about what you just said, you know, coordinates, these grids and stuff. This is a Rubik's Cube. This is a magic square with grids and the numbers. And no. I'm not feeling the maleness. And, you know, I love guys, and I'm not being rude at all. I'm not being rude even a little bit, because we've talked about this stuff. We need to realize that we are the same here. But whatever sparked that seed to change us, how many stories all over the world talk about one sex? Because there are females still, amphibians, several, and I had gone through a whole list of them one day. I'll look it up. We'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about how we're so much alike. So much alike, still the same parts, they just put a little differently. But now I'm wondering, who did that? Who did that?
Well, I mean...
Something did that. What can you do, possibly, to change... Now, you can see an anomaly. There might be... one more masculine female born, or perhaps there were, and you know, even scientists are saying maybe it was back in the stage when we were all amphibians. I'm a little sketchy on that, but even that, we know that happens for a specific reason, that some fish turn male, some fish turn female when there's an emergency. What emergency? And what gave us that gene? Enough to change us so completely? Think how well we'd all get along if we realized, you know, we are the same sex, we are the same species. If people could just embrace that for 5 seconds, it would be so nice. But something came down here and made us hate even ourselves. You know, look at the passages from books that we're supposed to love. They use words like balance, right? Which is supposed to be awesome. That life is in balance. There must be equal parts of good and bad, happiness, sadness. Counselors, gurus, all those self-proclaimed masters who promise to bring balance in your life are promising to bring equal parts of good and bad. A life in balance, well, would have equal amounts of those things. So if you want more happiness than unhappiness, then you are out of balance. And I am an advocate and a champion of, and the captain of the Canadian team. Let's be out of balance. Let's have happiness. We have been fed such lies. And we buy it and we talk about it. This is insidious and something happened, had to happen. So words like this could just slip by our notice without us paying attention to them.
Well, you know, anything becomes every day if you use it every day.
True.
It just becomes a part of your original, you know, a part of the what do they call it? A part of the environment, you know, and we zone it out. And the names of the days and the gods and of the planets and, you know. All right, so lots of thoughts. The gods came down to Earth. And maybe there are a dozen of them. Maybe there were only seven of them in the first place, or maybe, you know.
Or maybe that's what's waiting for us underneath said rock ocean and new water. And that mysterious, they're just admitting under Earth thing that's actually there. So they're pretty much saying it without saying it, that there is an inner Earth. So they've said about inner Earth, they've talked about water, they've made it look like exactly what the Vedic tales say it looks like. So again, I asked you, what are we, what's under there? Who? And do we want to meet those guys? Maybe they'll come out and they'll be our friends, say, look, you guys, what have you done? And come help us. Maybe, you know, I want to look at it that way. I do. And they'll be our friends.
Well, you know, the way I see it is, you know, like, you know, we now see films like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all that, and we see beings like Gandalf.
Yes.
And in Harry Potter, there's Hagrid, right? Gandalf, I think, should be giant. I think he should, you know, he should have been much bigger than that. But these guys, they do their thing. They do, you know. Nowadays, we've got the internet, right? And I could appear to be talking to lots of different people all at the same time,
yes,
and communicating them back and forth with all these different people at the same time. If I haven't got a computer, it would be weird. But if I have got a computer, here I am. And literally, as we speak, you know, there are dozens and dozens of people all over the world that are listening to this conversation and responding,
yes,
like magic. And here we are in the 21st century. So he was a guy who had technology. He had access to technology. And he didn't, you know, if you look at his temperament, he doesn't actually like being disturbed too much by the people, because they're always fretting. They're always stating the obvious. You know, look at The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a really good way of looking at how humans behave from an alien standpoint. You know, they're all, you know, oh, the sky's falling. They're always stating the obvious. Oh, we're going to die. No, we're not. Are we going to die now? How long is it going to be? When are we going to be there? You know, we are like children to them. That's why they say we have to grow up. We have to get cool and stay cool and be cool like them. Be like Zaphod Beeblebrox, who would fly his spaceship into the sun, you know, because he knew it's a portal and not a star. You know, not some mythical pool of fire that you're driving in towards. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And,
you know, go on.
Very importantly, a couple of weeks ago, I posted on Facebook, look at the sun. And there was this enormous square hole out of the top of it. Tell me, Tracy, have the Borg arrived?
Yes.
On that note.
Sorry. Yes.
We'll be seeing you next week. Well, maybe. Well, here's the thing. You know, people are saying, you know, there's a benevolent situation going on. And there's also a malevolent situation going on, and we certainly know that there's stuff going on that doesn't always make sense. I'm not sure if it is all completely Earth-based, though. I think that there is something off-planet. We've been talking about these things today.
I am with you.
So, I think the best thing is to know what's going on. To hope that by making us consciously aware of it, that other people become consciously aware of it, and that the people who are consciously aware outside of the Earth are now consciously aware that there are people who are consciously aware. And that might just save us, if that was.
Yes. Taking active participation in your life. You know, a lot of people just kind of go through the motions. You know, they get up, you have your coffee, you get dressed, you do things in certain order, which many people, and myself included, I had to completely change this. It's one of those 10 years where we're now speeding up so fast, I think I'm changing every day, but I wake up and really take the time to say, what do I need right now? Is it water? Should I go for a walk now? Should I have a bath now? Should I read something? Should I sit and relax? Should I meditate? So I'm not just going in the closet, throwing on clothes. I'm actually paying attention to what I'm doing and putting that part in my whole life. It could be the magnificent crystals that I'm using now and the shungite and the combinations of harmonics and sounds that I have here. Could be all of these things. But I was weakening physically. You know, I'm not up running marathons or anything, but being more aware of what's going on is strengthening me. And the people I'm talking to, and I'm sure you're hearing this too, JP, is people are going through some traumatic physical, mental, emotional things right now. It's really, really hard for many of us, especially if we're sensitive. There are many things going on here, probably on every single level. So we're not saying these things to make you scared. Just be aware. Look at it yourself and know that you're not alone. Many of us are having to batten down the hatches to get through this windstorm. I'm one.
Yeah, ensure you have a good support group around you. Don't rely on just one person because people crumble really easily these days, and you can't rely on one person because everybody's, especially reliable people, right? Reliable people are becoming rarer and rarer for guess why? Because they're reliable and they're giving their time and space. If you know a reliable person, why not reward the reliable people? Because they're very, very valuable and it would do you and them good. So anybody that you know that is reliable, that you rely on, really, you know, make a fuss of them. Get them dinner, you know.
Yes.
Get them a foot massage. Now, that's really doing them some good. That would do everybody a favor, that would. So, with that, Tracy Kennedy, turtleislandnews.info.
Yes.
When are your shows? What times and days?
My shows are Tuesday and Thursday from 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time, and talk about similar issues. My shows are more esoteric, but I do slip in the news like we did in the broader picture of it. I don't talk too much about politics and things like that anymore because I think it's a smokescreen for what's really going on. And I think what's really going on is complex, and whether we know exactly what it is, if we can even do that, we just need to be here for each other, and sometimes it's nice just knowing someone else is going through it too. So thanks so much for having me on, JP.
You're very welcome, Tracy, and let's roll. Thank you very much. Stay tuned for Frank Jordan and Healings and Meditations. And where's my familiar tune? There we go. There we go. Thank you very much and good night. And I'll see you tomorrow night at 1 a.m. UK time, which is 8 Eastern and 5 Pacific time. Good night. Beyond. Greetings, Wolf Spirit Radio listeners.